Hey everyone, welcome to another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 92.
Oh yeah, Psalm 92.
It's a really fascinating psalm, and I'm so glad to have you here to kind of walk us through it.
Absolutely happy to be here.
So, Psalm 92, it's a song, it's a poem. Some people even call it a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives us this incredible glimpse into how the ancient Israelites saw the world.
Yeah.
We're going to be looking at a lecture today by Dr. Bruce Waudke.
Okay.
And he does this fantastic job of breaking down the structure and meaning of Psalm 92.
One of the things that's so interesting about Psalm 92 is that it was intended to be sung on the Sabbath.
Oh, wow.
Perhaps even with specific rituals attached to it. And, you know, it tackles a question that has puzzled people for ages.
Mm-hmm.
Why do bad things happen to good people? Or, you know, why do the wicked seem to prosper? And the psalm explores this using really vivid imagery.
I like that.
Comparing those who are righteous to these incredibly resilient, long-lived trees.
Right.
Palm trees and cedars of Lebanon.
I love that imagery already. And we're just getting started.
Yeah.
So one of the first things that Dr. Waudke points out is that Psalm 92 is called a song of grateful praise.
Yeah.
Or actually, he even mentions that the NIV translates it as just grateful praise.
Right.
Because in Hebrew, thanksgiving isn't just about saying a quick thank you.
It's much deeper than that. It's about publicly recognizing God's goodness and sharing your own story of how he's been at work in your life.
Yeah.
It's like weaving your testimony into a song.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. And it gets even more interesting because the psalm emphasizes this idea of continuous praise.
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Waudke talks about this idea of merrimism.
Okay.
Which sounds very complicated.
Right.
But it's basically just using opposites like morning and night to represent all of time.
The totality.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like saying, you know, this praise should be nonstop 24/7.
Right. And that makes perfect sense when you think about the historical context.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the priests in the temple would have been ministering day and night.
Oh, that's a good point.
So this psalm being sung on the Sabbath would have echoed that ongoing cycle of worship.
Yeah. Like God's presence and faithfulness are constant.
Yes.
But here's where things get really thought provoking.
Okay.
Dr. Waudke talks about how the psalm contrasts God's deep or profound thoughts with the limited understanding of what he calls fools.
Right.
It's almost like God is deliberately concealing certain truths from those who aren't ready to grasp them.
Have you ever wrestled with a difficult question of faith? One where the answer just seemed out of reach?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah. So what's fascinating here is the implication that faith is almost like a key to unlocking certain truths.
I like that.
It's not about how smart you are, but about how willing you are to trust and rely on God, even when things don't make sense right away.
That's so true. And speaking of things not making sense.
Oh, okay.
This song dives right into that age old question of why bad people sometimes seem to be doing so well in life.
Right.
It's a gut punch when you see that happening.
Yeah. It's a struggle that's troubled people for centuries. But what's interesting is that the psalm presents this prosperity as fleeting, almost like a temporary illusion.
Okay.
It argues that this is all part of God's bigger plan to ultimately triumph over evil.
And that idea of God's ultimate power is really driven home in that powerful line at the middle of the psalm.
Yeah.
For you are on high forever, I am.
It's so powerful.
It's like this bold declaration of God's sovereignty,
right? Yeah.
Reminding us that even in chaos, he is still in control.
And it's even more striking when you understand how that line fits into the structure of the psalm.
Okay.
Dr. Waudke pointed out that it uses this literary technique called chiasm.
Okay.
Where ideas are presented and then mirrored back.
Oh, interesting.
And the central line acts as the turning point,
right,
emphasizing God's ultimate authority.
That's amazing how they crafted this psalm with such intentionality.
Yeah.
And then the psalm gets even more vivid, describing a king's victory over his enemies.
Yes.
The imagery is so powerful.
And what's so profound is how Dr. Waudke connects this to victory to something much larger.
Okay.
The ultimate victory of Jesus over sin and death.
Oh, wow.
It's like this historical event foreshadows a cosmic triumph.
Wow, that gives it a whole new layer of meaning.
Yeah.
And then there's that line about the wicked being scattered, which Dr. Waudke suggests means more than just being defeated.
Right. He really highlights the implication that they lose the ability to spread their harmful ideas and influence.
Okay.
It's not just about breaking their power, but about stopping them from replicating it.
Okay, let's dive into those incredible images of the righteous being compared to palm trees and cedars of Lebanon.
Okay.
It's clearly about more than just being tall and strong.
Absolutely. These trees were highly valued for their strength, their beauty, and their long lifespans.
Mm-hmm.
The psalm is painting this picture of the righteous not just surviving, but truly thriving.
I love that.
And there's this fascinating detail that Dr. Walke pointed out.
What's that?
Palm trees and cedar trees don't usually grow in the same environments.
Oh, that's interesting.
Palm trees flourish in those hot, dry areas, while cedars prefer the cooler mountainous regions.
So what does that mean in the context of the psalm?
Well, Dr. Walske suggests it points to this beautiful picture of diversity within the community of the righteous.
Oh.
It's like the psalm is saying, no matter your background or your temperament, you can find a place to flourish in God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine this garden where all sorts of trees grow tall and strong, drawing from the same source of nourishment.
I love that imagery. It's such a powerful message of unity amidst diversity.
Yeah.
And then there's that whole idea of flourishing in old age.
Yeah.
Clearly, it's about more than just living a long time.
It's about continuing to grow in righteousness and vitality throughout your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Even in your later years, you can be like those trees described in the psalm, full of sap and thick with leaves.
Wow.
Overflowing with life and purpose.
That's incredible imagery.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what's the point of all this flourishing?
Right.
Is it just about the individual?
No, it's much bigger than that. The psalm tells us that the righteous flourish so they can proclaim God's unwavering justice and goodness.
Wow.
Their lives become living proof of his faithfulness.
That's incredibly inspiring.
Yeah.
And then the psalm ends with this solid, reassuring image of God as a rock.
It's a powerful metaphor, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Close your eyes for a moment and just picture that solid, unshakable foundation.
Yeah.
That's the kind of security the psalm is offering us, even when things feel chaotic around us.
Mm-hmm.
You can't break through it. You can't shake it.
I love that.
It's a beautiful reminder that God is our ultimate refuge.
Wow. I am truly blown away by how much depth and beauty is packed into this single psalm.
Yeah. And what's so remarkable is how the psalm moves from personal experience to these universal truths.
Mm.
It starts with one king's victory, and then it expands to encompass the fate of all the wicked and the flourishing of all the righteous.
And it all circles back to that powerful contrast. The fleeting prosperity of the wicked versus the lasting, deeply rooted flourishing of those who are righteous. Okay, this has been incredible, but I have to ask you one more thought-provoking question.
Okay, I'm all ears. Go for it.
You know how the psalm compares the righteous to trees flourishing in this garden-like temple?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you find that spiritual nourishment that helps you thrive?
Oh, that's a good word.
What feeds your soul and keeps you rooted and growing?
That's a great question, and one that each of us needs to explore for ourselves.
It really makes you think, doesn't it? I encourage everyone listening to spend some time pondering that question and maybe even explore some other songs of grateful praise in the Psalms and see what your own personal song of thanksgiving might sound like. But for now, we've reached the end of part one of our deep dive into Psalm 92. Join us next time as we continue to unearth the treasures of this incredible text.
I can't wait.
Me too.
See you then.
All right, bye.
Bye. Welcome back to our deep dive into Psalm 92.
It's amazing to think that people were singing these words thousands of years ago, and finding hope and meaning in them, just like we are today.
Absolutely.
We left off talking about that image of the righteous flourishing in this garden-like temple.
Mm-hmm.
That I found really powerful.
Yeah, and it's important to remember that this is full of symbolism.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't literally mean we need to live inside a temple to experience spiritual growth.
Right.
The temple here represents God's presence, that place where we connect with him.
Okay, that makes sense. So if we think about the temple as this source of nourishment,
okay,
what were some of the streams that flowed from it for the ancient Israelites?
Right.
What were their equivalents of, say, a podcast or a devotional book?
Well, the most obvious one would be the Word of God.
Right.
For them, hearing the Torah read aloud would have been a primary source of spiritual nourishment.
Okay.
Just so everyone's on the same page. The Torah refers to the first five books of the Hebrew Bible,
mm-hmm,
what Christians often call the Pentateuch.
Right.
It contains their laws, stories, and history. Basically, the foundation of their faith in the temple was the place where they would gather to hear those words come alive.
So the temple was like their spiritual library, but also a place for community and connection.
Exactly. And we can't forget the power of worshiping together, singing psalms, offering sacrifices, celebrating festivals.
Mm-hmm.
These were all ways for them to experience God's presence collectively and deepen their bond with each other.
Yeah, it's like those shared rituals create a sense of awe, gratitude, and belonging,
yeah,
something bigger than themselves.
Right. And that shared experience would have strengthened their faith and reminded them that they weren't alone on their spiritual journeys.
And that brings us back to the Psalms comparison of the righteous to flourishing trees. Mm-hmm. It's like those trees are drawing strength, not just from the ground, but also from one another. Their roots are intertwined. They shelter each other,
right,
creating this little ecosystem where they can all thrive.
That's a great analogy. It speaks to the interconnectedness of the community, how everyone benefits when we support each other's growth.
Okay, now I'm starting to get a much clearer picture of how this all ties together.
Good.
But I want to go back to that central line of the song for a second.
Okay.
For you are on high forever, I am.
Powerful words.
We talked about how it emphasizes God's plan to ultimately defeat evil.
Mm-hmm.
But it also seems connected to this idea of the righteous flourishing, right?
Absolutely. That line is like an anchor for the entire psalm.
Okay.
It's a reminder that God's power and sovereignty are the source of both the wicked being defeated and the righteous flourishing.
So it's not just that good things happen to good people while bad things happen to bad people.
Right.
It's that their flourishing is actually woven into God's plan for the world.
Exactly. Their lives become a testament to God's faithfulness, a living embodiment of his justice and goodness.
Wow.
It's like they're walking, talking billboards for God's victory.
I never thought of it like that before.
Yeah.
By thriving, they're actually playing a part in pushing back against evil.
That's a powerful insight. And it circles back to the concept of grateful praise that we talked about earlier.
Right.
It's not just about expressing thanks in private.
Mm.
It's about living in a way that demonstrates God's transformative power.
So it's about being so full of God's goodness that it spills over into everything you do.
Precisely. And notice how the psalm links this outward expression of faith to the idea of thriving in old age.
Right.
It's not just about living a long life. It's about continuing to grow and mature spiritually even as you get older.
Yeah, it's like a challenge to age gracefully, to become more and more like those majestic palm trees and cedars of Lebanon.
Right.
Deeply rooted, weathering storms, and still bearing fruit, even in the later seasons of life.
Yes, exactly. It paints this beautiful picture of a life that keeps deepening and becoming more fruitful over time instead of fading away.
I really like that imagery. A lot more appealing than the typical picture of getting old, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We've covered so much ground here, and I feel like I'm understanding Psalm 92 in a whole new light.
Good.
I'm glad. But there's one piece I'm still curious about. The psalm ends with that image of God as a rock.
Yeah.
Which we talked about, symbolizing strength and security.
Mm-hmm.
How does that fit into the bigger picture of the psalm?
That's a great question, and I think the key is to remember that it comes right after the description of the righteous flourishing and proclaiming God's righteousness.
Okay.
It's like the psalm is saying that the reason they can flourish, the reason they can stand tall and strong, is because they're ultimately rooted in God's unwavering faithfulness.
Yeah.
He is their foundation.
So it's like their strength and stability don't come from themselves.
Right.
But from relying on something much bigger and more enduring than themselves, that rock that can't be shaken.
Right. It's a beautiful picture of how even when we face challenges, even when things feel shaky, we can find refuge and strength in God's presence.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. It's like that image of the rock brings the whole message into focus.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the contrast between the fleeting prosperity of the wicked and the lasting flourishing of the righteous. We've got the call to continuous praise, the importance of spiritual nourishment, and then ultimately the solid, unshakable foundation of God's faithfulness.
And I think what makes this psalm so inspiring is how it weaves all those different threads together to create this tapestry of hope and resilience.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds us that even when we're going through tough times, even when it feels like evil is winning, we can still find strength and nourishment in God's presence.
And that strength allows us not just to survive those tough times.
Yes.
But to thrive in the midst of them.
That's it.
To become like those towering trees, deeply rooted, full of life, and proclaiming God's goodness to everyone around us.
Beautifully said. Okay. We've explored a lot of rich and meaningful concepts in this part of our deep dive, but we're not quite done yet. Join us for the final part as we wrap up our exploration of Psalm 92.
Welcome back to our final segment on Psalm 92. You know, it's amazing how much depth and beauty we could unpack from just one psalm.
It really is. You're telling me it makes you realize just how carefully crafted these ancient texts are. I think that's why they continue to resonate with people even thousands of years later.
Yeah, for sure. It's like the ancient Israelites were masters of layering meaning into their poetry.
Mm.
And speaking of layers, one thing that really struck me is how Psalm 92 moves from a personal story to this much bigger cosmic narrative.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with one king's victory, and then zooms out to encompass this whole fate of the wicked and the flourishing of the righteous.
It's like it's giving us a close-up shot and then panning out to show us this panoramic view of God's plan for the world,
yeah.
His desire for justice and righteousness to ultimately prevail.
And I find it really interesting that this psalm was specifically meant to be sung on the Sabbath.
Right.
A day of rest and reflection.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like it was inviting the Israelites to take a step back from their daily routines and really contemplate God's bigger picture. That reminder of his unwavering faithfulness, even in the middle of trials and struggles.
That's such a great point. It's like taking a break to reconnect with something bigger than yourself. To remember that God is always at work, even when things feel chaotic.
Yeah, so it's not just about celebrating one king's victory, but about holding on to that hope that God is always orchestrating events according to his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful reminder, especially when we're facing difficulties in our own lives.
Mm.
And this brings us back to those vivid images of the righteous flourishing like trees.
Right. It's not just about individual growth. It's about being part of this larger ecosystem, a community where everyone has the opportunity to thrive under God's care.
Like those palm trees and cedar trees growing together in the metaphorical garden of the temple.
Exactly.
That really paints a powerful picture of the diversity and inclusivity of God's kingdom, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it challenges us to consider how we can create spaces and communities where people from all walks of life, from all different backgrounds, feel welcomed, supported, and empowered to grow in their faith.
It's like we're all called to be gardeners, tending to this metaphorical garden and making sure everyone has access to the spiritual nourishment they need to thrive.
Yeah.
Speaking of nourishment, we talked about how that can come from so many sources.
Yeah.
The Word of God, communal worship, acts of service,
mm-hmm.
even quiet times of reflection and contemplation.
It's like a balanced diet for the soul.
I love that analogy. And just like with a physical diet, I guess it's important to be intentional about what we're feeding our spirits.
Mm.
Maybe this psalm is encouraging us to do a little spiritual inventory, to ask ourselves, what are the sources of nourishment that are helping me thrive right now? Are there any areas where I'm feeling depleted, where I need to seek out more sustenance?
Those are great questions to reflect on. And I think Psalm 92 offers some guidance. It reminds us that ultimately our capacity to flourish is rooted in God's unwavering faithfulness, beautifully symbolized by that image of the rock.
Yeah, it's like that image of the rock is saying, no matter what storms you face, you can always find shelter and strength in God's presence. He is that firm foundation that can't be shaken.
Exactly. And that strength allows us not simply to endure hardship, but to actually emerge from it stronger, more deeply rooted, and even more fruitful.
This deep dive has been such an eye-opening experience for me. I feel like I've gained a whole new appreciation for the depth and beauty of Psalm 92.
It never ceases to amaze me how much wisdom and encouragement we can find in these ancient texts, especially when we take the time to truly dig into them.
I agree. And what I love about this psalm is how it challenges us to think about our own spiritual journeys, our relationship with God, and our role in his grand story of redemption. It reminds us that we're not just passive observers, but active participants in his ongoing work in the world.
And that our lives, like those flourishing trees, have the potential to become beautiful testaments to his goodness and faithfulness.
This has been such a rich and rewarding conversation. I want to thank you for sharing your insights with us today.
It's been a pleasure.
And to everyone listening, we hope this deep dive has inspired you to revisit Psalm 92 with fresh eyes and hearts. Maybe even pull out your favorite translation and spend some time reflecting on what it means for you to give grateful praise in your own life. And consider how you can be like those deeply rooted, resilient trees thriving in God's presence and bearing fruit that will last. Thanks for joining us on this journey. Until next time, keep diving deep, keep seeking truth, and keep flourishing.